With me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, start reading in verse 17, and we'll read through verse 21. Please follow along with me as I read. It says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Let us pray. Lord, thank you again for this time that we have to set aside the cares of the day and to sing these praises to you, to fellowship with other believers, to be challenged by your word, to sit under the ministry of your Holy Spirit as He proclaims your word to our hearts. Lord, please give me the words to say. Please help each one of us to have hearts that are receptive as we seek to listen to what you're going to teach us, as we seek to do what you're calling for us to do. Lord, bring conviction where conviction is necessary. Challenge us, Lord, to grow in Christ's likeness. Encourage us with your word. Strengthen us, Lord, as your servants, as your children. Lord, gain confidence in who you are and how you love us. Lord, change us, we pray. We need your help. Guide us now. We want to commit these things to you and pray them in Christ's name. Amen. So we've been going through here looking at this study on a useful vessel. We've been considering how to be a useful vessel for Christ. How to be a useful vessel. What does it take for our usefulness that is fit for the Master's use? We're in the process of looking at the progression that we're going through as Christians. Our progression that we are being renewed in Christ's likeness, being renewed in knowledge, so that we can live a Christ-like life. We understand that our Christian practice is that we are to imitate Christ. We are to look like Jesus. We are to look distinctly Christian. We're at a point where we're considering our usefulness by putting on Christ in our relationships. Our relationships. The relationships that each of us have. And specifically here, Lord willing, we'll finish up with this section, our usefulness in our home life. Our usefulness in our home life. The challenge for us is to look distinctly like Christ in the home. The key to our usefulness at home or at work and in every area of our lives is to seek every day to intentionally put off the Antichrist qualities found in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 9, and intentionally putting on the Christ-like qualities of verses 12 through 14. But we must do that every day. Put off those selfish attitudes which manifest themselves in covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, and others, unforgiveness. Put on the sacrificial attitudes of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and especially love. There's things we are to put off through confession of sin, repentance, get away from them, no longer allow those to be a part of your Christian wardrobe. You have new robes of righteousness. Put on the robes of Christ that look like Jesus. It's an intentional process that we go through. Then we see, in whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This verse is a great qualifier for the verses that we're looking at with regards to our relationships in our home life, being useful in the relationships within the home. And as we will look at the last section that we will look at with regards to this study. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Homes are built upon authority and submission. The first and foremost authority is God Himself, and we must always keep Him at the forefront. We operate our houses, our homes, our families based upon what God says. We all must be submissive to Him based upon what He commands us in His Word. When we fail in these areas of knowing that God is the final authority, we fail to submit to Him in reaching the goal of a biblical family. We've considered the biblical role of the wife, verse 18. And wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Biblical submission is not referring to equality. Husbands and wives are equal. But biblical submission is referring to a hierarchy. There's a leadership. Wives, you're called to willingly place yourself under the leadership of your husband, God's command. Keep in mind, the woman's submission is to be done in word and in deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the God and the Father by Him. As we submit this way, ladies, as you submit this way, this will transform the home life, as you will be a willing, submissive wife with an attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor your master, Jesus Christ. Then we see the biblical role of the husband. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Paul is commanding men, lead your homes, lovingly lead your homes. Encourage her to willingly submit by your servant leadership. Serve in your leadership. Lovingly lead. Husbands, we are to love our wives in word and in deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This will transform our home lives as we lovingly lead our wives and our families with the attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor our Master, Jesus. Now today we turn to verses 20 and 21 as we consider the biblical role of children and the biblical role of fathers. Children, this is anyone who has a mother or father. Any of you not fit that? Specifically, Paul is talking to those who are still in the home under the authority of their parents. But I want us to, as adults, not tune this out. You are a child of God. Think of how you can be implementing this verse in your submission to God. But young people, this verse is specifically for you as you are living under the authority of your parents in home. You're called upon to obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, as you are still in your home, you are to obey your parents. Again, listen. Children, you are to obey your parents in word and in deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This will transform your home life. As you willingly submit with an attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor your Master Jesus as you obey your parents. So we're pulling in that verse 17, and that is the attitude that we are to have in every role that God has given us. Every action. So what's obedience? Children, obey your parents in all things. To obey is to hear under. To hear under. or to yield to a superior command as a subordinate. It's to listen attentively. Okay, so what does that mean? Young people, what does that mean? To hear under. To obey carries the actions of listening and the attitude of submission, of humble submission. Do you listen and then humbly submit? The idea, if you will, every young person, everybody, look up here. Eyes up here. Putting feet to the ear. Okay, put feet to the ear. What does that mean? What you hear, you are desiring to do. So when you see children obey your parents, think of this. I'm going to put feet to what I'm told. Everybody get that? Young people, everybody. Let's do the feet to the ear. Come on, join with me. Putting feet to your ear. The reality is, we're to humbly submit to what we are commanded to do. All who are children of God, does that hold fast to us as well? Now, listen. If obedience is to humbly listen, if obedience is to humbly listen and obey, so if you will, you're going to listen. The Bible talks about inclining our ear, means to kind of lean in, to listen to what's being said. To disobey would be to what? I'm not going to listen. It's pride. It's proudly covering our ears. When a child does this, it's an act of rebellion. As children of God, when we refuse to listen to what God says, it's an act of rebellion. It's no different than our kids. Just as we don't want to allow our kids to get away with that, should we seek to get away with it with our Heavenly Father? Children, put feet to the ear. You're not going to forget that, are you? Are you putting feet to your ear? Are you putting feet to what you hear? Consider biblical obedience defined by three words, as we see here in our notes, letter A, B, and C. Letter A, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. If you want to turn to back one book, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Actually, turn back two books. I apologize. Turn back two books. Ephesians 6, 1. Hold your place there in Colossians 3. Ephesians 6, 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you will, we are to obey quickly. Obey quickly. Children, take action quickly. Do what you're told immediately. The first time you are told, don't wait. Remember, as stated before we really got into the message, the home is built upon authority and submission. Authority and submission. Children, you have no authority. That's a good thing. Your parents are the authority. Listen. Quickly put feet to what you hear. It should be done. When they command something to be done, when they say, I want this done, do it in their time. It's not your time. It's their time. So let me ask you this. It's a question. I'm going to keep the kids' attention here today. Eyes up here. How quickly do you obey? How quickly do you obey? Do you take your time pouting the whole time, letting your parents know how unhappy you are? Do you have to be reminded more than once about what you are to do? children of God, how quickly do you obey? Do you take your time pouting the whole time, letting your Father, Heavenly Father, know that you are unhappy about obeying Him? Do you have to be reminded more than once to obey? We all can get something from this. We are to obey quickly in God's time, Mom and Dad's time. Next, we are to obey sweetly. Verse 2 of chapter 6. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Obey sweetly. What does that mean? This refers to the kind of heart attitude. Having a right heart attitude. Honor your father and your mother. To honor is coming from the heart. Obedience is an outward action, but honoring is obedience from the inside. Children, young people, each one of us, you, who are living at home, do you honor your father and your mother? Do you honor them? When you're given a command, do you obey only on the outside, while on the inside you're angry and irritated that your parents are bothering you by making you do something that you don't want to do? Is your attitude one of disobedience, even though you may do what you're told? I think it was D.L. Moody told the story of a young boy who was told to sit down for whatever reason. And finally, after a number of reprimands, he sat down. But he was quick to note, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. How often, young people, do you do that? Clean your room. Make your bed. Do the dishes. Take out the trash. Help around the house. We are a team. We're supposed to be working together. There's authority. There's submission. Leadership of the home is supposed to really help us see, in a biblical Christian home, is supposed to see our submission ultimately to the Father. And so fathers, it's a very important role that we have of leading the home. Children, let me say this. You submit to your parents. You submit to God like you submit to your parents. Okay? You submit to God like you submit to your parents. You can't submit to God if you're not submitting to your parents. You can't do it. Adults, we can answer the same question. Are we submitting to God? Are we all bothered by the fact that God would command us to do something that we don't want to do? Back to Colossians 3:20. So we're to obey quickly, we're to obey sweetly, we're to obey in action, we're to obey with our hearts. And next we see in Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. We are to obey completely. Children, do you obey completely? This refers to the extent of your obedience. This is wholehearted obedience that does not quit, but carries the command to a complete fulfillment to the best of your ability. You go all the way. You finish the task, but you finish it right. It's not cutting corners. It's not doing things halfway. It's doing things to the fullest extent. Clean your bedroom. Doesn't mean shove everything in the closet so that the floor looks clear. That's not obeying completely, is it? Young people, when you're given a command, do you obey to the best of your ability, or do you find a way to quit thinking that it looks like you obeyed? Do you obey completely? Adults, do you obey completely? Your Heavenly Father knows more than we know of our children's obedience. So first we see, what is obedience? Next we see, who are you pleasing? Children, who are you pleasing? It says, this is for this. This, what is this? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. The phrase well-pleasing speaks of being fully agreeable or acceptable. If your parents know the fullest extent of your obedience, is it acceptable to them? Is it acceptable to God? God knows the fullest extent of your obedience. He knows everything that we do. Children, is God happy with how you obey? Because He sees everything. Is He happy with how you obey? Is He happy with your heart and how you obey with your heart? Is He happy with your actions and how quickly you obey with your actions? Is he happy with the completeness, how fully you obey? Is He? Adults, is God happy with how you obey? Who are you trying to please? Consider this, there's the compliant child. Some children only obey because they are just trying to please mom and dad. They've learned that life works best when I show that I'm obeying. They don't want to make them mad or just trying to always get their approval. There is a compliant child syndrome, if you will, that they've realized that the home life just works so much better. I'm going to get in much less trouble if I just obey. There's no submission of the heart. It's just logical progression of, you know what? You know what? I want to get on to what I want to do, so therefore I'm just going to obey. It's a compliant child. Do we go through the motions as if God's going to accept that? Children, we can get away with that with our parents, can't we? Going through the motions of obedience, but can we get away with it with God? Is it honoring? Is it well-pleasing unto God when we are just literally going through the motions so that mom and dad won't say anything? So that I won't get in trouble, I won't get grounded, so therefore it's just being compliant. You fall into that category? How about the rebelling child? See, the compliant child, we don't... They're the one that are considered to be, oh, the good Johnny, man. He's just great. He just does what he says, and then he ends up being the one. Oh, he's the favorite, right?
But then you have the rebelling child, and that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Some children refuse to obey because they only want to please themselves. They want to be the authority. In these situations, they don't believe mom and dad have the right to tell them what to do. And they're going to make sure you know every step of the way that this is not my way. I'll obey, but it's gonna cost you in the process.
Temper tantrum. Big pounce. Acting like you can't do what you're commanded to do. Make your bed. I forgot how. Go get a shower. I forgot how. Anybody ever fall into that category? Do the dishes. I don't remember how to do the dishes. Really? Or are we God-pleasing? To please God is to please God with our heart. There's a blessing of obedience. It pleases the Lord. Do you desire to truly please God? Does it make you happy that God is pleased with what you do? Young people, do you desire to please God? Not just mom and dad. Are you trying to get God's approval, not just mom and dad's approval? There may be some of you young people here that have not placed their faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. And if that's the case, then consider the reality. You're not going to be doing anything to please God because you don't care. The reality is, young people, we must be seeking to please God with everything that we do and say. And parents, are we helping them to come under the understanding that everything is to be done to the honor and glory of God? Are we seeking to encourage that in their lives? When you respond to your mom and dad, does God agree? Is it acceptable to God? And adults, you know exactly that this is to all of us as well. Ephesians 6:3, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Honor thy father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And the principle is clearly stated that when a child submits to honoring their parents, they can enjoy a prosperous and long life. The principle is there. Obedience fosters self-discipline, which brings stability and longevity. With obedience comes blessing. With obedience comes peace and harmony. Do we desire to obey, young people? Do you desire to obey mom and dad because God says so? Do you desire to please God? I pray that you do. Young people, what's your attitude towards your parents? What is your attitude towards your parents? Now, young people, as we consider moving on to the next verse, there's still things for you to learn in this process as well as we talk about fathers and ultimately parents. Letter D, consider the biblical role of fathers. Verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger lest they be discouraged or disheartened. This word fathers could also be translated parents, although I believe it's rightly emphasized that it's fathers, because fathers are the head of the home to lead by example. Fathers, we are to love our children in word and deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This will transform the home life as we love our children with an attitude of gratitude, seeking to honor our Master, Jesus. Continues on. First, consider the destructive parenting that comes into play here. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. The word provoke carries the idea of to stir up or irritate. Part of this word provoke is contention. It is rooted in pride. Now, the reality is, children, this is not an excuse. See, sometimes children are just irritable because they don't want to obey. Okay, that's one thing. But fathers, parents, is there a way in which you could do things differently that isn't an irritant? That isn't just stirring the pot? Just isn't provoking them? He's seeking to love them, to help them to submit and obey. See, this is the reality, is that, kids, you're not off the hook. Children, we're not off the hook, especially children of God. We're not off the hook. We need to submit to God. And just because someone irritates us doesn't mean we have the right to respond in a negative way. But fathers, mothers, parents, you have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Are we doing everything we can to foster and encourage our children to grow in Christ-likeness? The heart of the word provoke is contention. It's rooted in pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Fathers, are you seeking to parent? Are you seeking to teach your children in a wise way, biblically wise? The command here is to fathers specifically, both to parents, are to heed this command. It says in Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Don't enrage them. As fathers, we are not to dominate our children or force them upon them unreasonable demands. Wrath is what comes from frustration. Oftentimes, fathers, we can do things that we frustrate our children to the point where they get upset. And it irritates them. It provokes them.
That wrath will be manifested in words, in action or lack of action, attitudes. Provoking a child comes in the form of unrealistic demands, where a child will legitimately respond, I can't do that. Demanding perfection, child will legitimately respond, my best just isn't good enough. Constant criticism or no praise, child can legitimately respond, I just can't please him. Why do I try? Or there's the fear factor. The response is, uh-oh, dad's mad again. Challenge we have as fathers is to be leading by example, encouraging. We need to be leading with loving leadership, servant leadership, parenting in such a way as to teach our children, this is how you parent biblically. I forgot where I heard it. Actually, I do now. It was Pastor Jim Bickle down in Brooklyn. He said words to this effect. He said, fathers, it's at a men's conference. He said, fathers, the way you parent is you parent keeping your eye on your grandchildren. If you focus on your grandchildren, you're not going to miss a generation. What are you doing? Because you're teaching your children to be fathers. You're teaching your boys to be good fathers. You're teaching your daughters to be good mothers. So that when it's their turn, they're not going to drop the ball. But we have to lead by example. Lest they be discouraged. The word discouraged means to be spiritless or disheartened. The kind of discouragement is hopeless. Think of this word. They take this and courage. To this, to remove their courage. To remove their hearts. They're no longer courageous. It creates hopelessness. It discourages them. This is looks like apathy or lack of passion. As parents, we are to encourage, to promote our children to be passionate about obeying and serving the Lord. There's a command against destructive parenting. Are you falling into that category? And the challenge is at times, all of us as fathers, you can say, you know what? Yeah, I've made mistakes. Lord, help me. Then consider there's instructive parenting. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as parents, we are commanded to raise our children diligently, seeking to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The idea is to bring our children to the point of having a healthy respect and fear of God, as opposed to anger or resentment to Him as well as their parents. See, this is a great responsibility that we have as fathers, isn't it? And mothers, you're to be following in line with your husband's leadership. And I know there's a challenge that in the spiritually divided, I understand that. The reality is, we are to be parenting by example. We are to be submitting to God, showing our children how to submit to God. If we don't submit to God, how do we expect them to submit to God? If we don't submit to Him, the obedience, if we don't submit and put feet to the ear ourselves, why would they do it? Lead by example. This is how you do it. Don't tell me. Show me. Show me.
Dr. Griffith, who was just here a couple weeks ago, in his book, Parenting, One Chance to Do It Right, he says these words, "Proper nurture and admonition will keep a child from reacting to and rejecting parental authority. While children are clearly told to obey their parents in all things, parents are reminded that how they handle their God-given authority will make a world of difference in how their children respond." How you parent makes the world of difference as to how they respond. We want to show them that God is the authority and we submit to Him, and therefore it is right. It's a follow me as I follow Christ mentality. As husbands, have that mentality. Follow me as I follow Christ. As a father, follow me as I follow Christ. As a pastor, that's what I must have. Follow me. If I'm following Christ, then follow me. Get on board. If I'm not, always look over my shoulder. If I'm following Christ, yes, go. But if I'm not, get off my back. Get away from me. Don't follow after me. And so no wonder our children don't want to follow leadership in the home a lot of times. But children, as you know the truth, because we've just read about it. Just the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart as is mine. Young people, especially as you are called upon Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. If your father is not acting the way you think he should, that doesn't give you an excuse, does it? Because you have an authority in heaven that you are called upon to submit biblically. Consider Deuteronomy chapter 6. We looked at this last Sunday in Sunday school. God's command to parents has not changed. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 8. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." These words. What words? These words. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them," these, "diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them upon a sign of thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." What's God saying to His children? As parents, when you're on vacation, when you're going for a walk, when your kids are, when you're sitting around the house, when you go to bed, when you get up, God should be the focus of our conversation. Always figure out a way to bring God into the conversation. "These words shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently." Work at it. Takes a lot of effort, doesn't it? Still is what God requires. Fathers, I have found that the key factor in leading my home, the home that God has given me the privilege to lead, and the raising of the children that God has given me, that the key factor is the factor of the matter of authority. Who's in charge? Time and time again, I've proven this to be true. I have proven it to be true. I don't say that pridefully. Listen to what I'm saying. I've proven it time and time again that when I'm in charge, I fail to be obedient to this command. When my rules are not obeyed, my authority is not followed, then my home is filled with disunity and discouragement. It's about a matter of authority and submission. I found that a drastic change takes place when I submit my leadership, my authority, to the authority of God, to the Lord, and yield to His way. My attitude towards obedience is different when I consider my children's obedience to my Lord's rules. My response then is different as well. The Lord has made it very clear to me in regards to two words used for consequences. And in our home, consequences are not a good thing. It's what you get when you don't do what is right. There's no such thing as a good consequence in our home. But There's two words that can be used for consequence: punishment and discipline. These are my definitions. I define punishment as the response necessary when a child breaks my rules. I define discipline is that when the response is necessary when a child breaks God's rules. See the difference? Punishment is when you break my rules. Discipline, I administer punishment when you break my rules. I administer discipline when you break God's rules. Consider punishment. When my children break my rules, I can be more harsh and less loving. The end result is that Daddy sometimes has to apologize for getting angry. Realize that. In these moments, there's less biblical nurturing and admonishing. As a result, my children don't learn as much biblically as they should now, as they see Daddy apologize for doing what was wrong. There is teaching there, but it's not as best as it could be. Discipline is when my children break my Lord's rules and my response is loving sadness. Process of administering the consequence is a loving one in which my child understands that they have broken God's rules. And in these moments, there's much love and biblical nurturing and admonishing. In the end, my child understands the authority is God. Just like Daddy has to obey, so do they. A huge difference. It's a difference in my attitude. Have I got it right? Have I got it right to the point where I never administer punishment as I define it in my home anymore? Sadly, no. Oh, Lord, I have a long ways to go. The Lord is seeking to help me understand that the authority is Him, and I must submit to Him. I must yield to Him, and when I yield to Him, I will be training my children by God's grace to yield to Him also. That's where we're at, dads. That's where we're at, moms. The story is told of a mother who brought her newborn son to General Robert E. Lee for a blessing. The southern gentleman tenderly cradled the lad in his arms, then looked at the mother and said, "Ma'am, please teach him that he must deny himself. Please teach him that he must deny himself." Could there be a greater blessing? Learning to deny yourself. Young people, do you know what it means to deny yourself? Fathers, mothers, are you showing your children what denying yourself looks like? Biblically. Fathers, mothers, in order to teach your children to deny themselves, they must first see you leading by example. Otherwise, it rings hollow. So again, young people, children, what is your attitude towards your parents? What is your attitude towards your parents? In what areas do you need to humble yourself and confess that your attitude towards your parents is not the attitude of willing submission? Young people, eyes up here. The Lord has spoken to your hearts today. In what areas are you not humbling yourself and submitting to mom and dad and obeying them, putting feet to the ear, quickly, sweetly, and completely? What areas are you refusing to obey because you want your way? Those are areas, as you ask God, show me those areas, He will show them to you. And those are the areas when you have to bow your knee and pray and say, "Lord, please Help me to obey. Please forgive me for not obeying as I should. I'm not humbling myself to my mom and dad as I should. And He will show you specific areas where you're seeing you're not obeying as you should. You're not obeying quickly. You're not obeying sweetly. You're not obeying completely. God says, you got to change. All of us as children of God, the same goes for us as well. What areas are we not humbling ourselves before God? That we need to go before Him and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not obeying quickly, sweetly, and completely. Help me, Lord. Finally, parents. What is your attitude in parenting? In what areas do you need to humble yourself and confess your attitude toward God that it is not an attitude of willing submission? Are we willing to submit and say, Lord, I surrender all. My way is not best. Lord, Your way is best. Show me how to submit. Show me how. Give me the grace needed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Young people, it's hard to submit. But guess what? Just when you get out of the home, submission doesn't end. Authority doesn't leave. Does it? Always going to be authority. There's always going to be a need for submission. But understand, what is biblical submission to authority all about? Fathers, are you seeking to lead by example? Children, are you seeking to willingly submit to God as your authority as you submit to your fathers and your mothers? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's not easy. Otherwise, we'd all be doing it. It's not easy to submit. It's easy to lose sight of who the authority is. Lord, as a father, I need Your help. As one of Your children, I need Your help. Every single one of us today, I trust the message has spoken to their heart. There's a specific area in which You are speaking to each of us that we need to change. Help us as children to submit to You. Help us as fathers, as parents, to submit. Lord, I commit this message to each heart here today and trust that You will use it to impact souls for Christ. Change us, O God. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.